That I've never not went with anybody else. I mean, didn't have any men go from the church last year, so I encourage you this year. Maybe we can, you know, get the men there and fill up the pew and do that, right? And the singing, I tell you, the singing. I've caught myself, like Brother Gibbs said, I had to stop singing because I couldn't hear myself. I mean, I cannot literally hear my own voice, even no matter how loud. I had to put my hand. I put my finger on my ear so I could hear myself in the crowd that was singing it so loud. It's awesome. And even there, you couldn't tell. You can't tell on the video how loud it is in there. First time I went to the prayer advance, it was in Goshen, and I went in the side door, and Brother Gibbs and Brother Harold were standing there, and I walked in, and Harold saw me coming, and I opened up the door, and it was like the sound blew my hair back. It was like the sound coming out the side door of the place. I was like, man, I didn't know what to expect, and it was great. So I encourage that. Luke chapter 15, going to be there this morning, Luke chapter 15. The topic, what are things coming to? What are things coming to? You know, at the end of last year, of course, we just ended last year, beginning of new year, and every year I have a service like this, or during the service, one of the services I talk about, you know, the upcoming year, and even talk about last year. You know, how did things go for you? Brian was sharing how last year they had written down things they wanted to get done, kind of like resolutions. I made a New Year's resolution years ago that I wouldn't make any more New Year's resolutions. That kind of covers the bases on that. But, you know, we do have goals and things sometimes. So they wrote them down, and then they opened them up this year. I remember the other day Sherry got hers. I didn't look at it. She didn't share that with me. I don't know what she put on there. It might have been bumping me off was one of the goals, but she didn't get it done yet. Maybe this year's a new year, honey. Give you another chance. But you know, we all think about the last year. How did things go? If you made New Year's resolutions, did you fulfill those resolutions that you made? Or if you had, sometimes we don't have resolutions, we just have plans, right? We got plans. That's not a bad idea. How did the plans work out? And then most likely, and every year we could say this along the way, there were hiccups and bumps in the road and unexpected circumstances arise. How about failures? How many of us had some failures in the last year? But what about this? What about victories? How many of us could say, hey, we got some victories in the last year? You know, we got over some things, got past some things. God got us through some things, man. I mean, I think that's sometimes we only look at the glasses half empty and not the glasses half full, you know, kind of thing. So I think we ought to think about that. And so now we've got the new year. Now we got a whole nother year before of us. So what's your plan for the new year? Or do you have a goal? And if you have a goal, you have to have a strategy to fulfill that goal. You know, a lot of people have goals, but they have no plan. I mean, they've got a goal or they got something they want to do, but they don't have a strategy. How are you going to do it? How are you going to get it done? And so, you know, that's something to think about. I was reading in the Daily Bread. If y'all got the Daily Bread, I read the devotion for today, and it was geared up around New Year's. And it said that the researchers, they always use that word, researchers have discovered there's something they call it the fresh start effect. The fresh start effect. And it usually revolves around a calendar point such as first of the year, first of the month, maybe on a birthday, you know, something like that. They have that. And so, it's a good starting point. I always say that. And when you get up in the morning, it's a good starting point, right? That's a good starting point for the day. But a lot of people don't have a plan for anything. You know, we like things to happen. I wanted to be a millionaire all my life. I didn't have a plan for it, man. And the plan I had didn't work out. I can tell you that right now. But, you know, they have an old saying, you know, a dead fish can swim downstream, right? I mean, the current takes a dead fish downstream. You don't have to have anything going on to do that. And so a lot of people, I remember being in this category so much of my life when I was in high school even, letting life happen instead of making life happen. I remember in high school, what are you going to do? I don't know. There was the kids that were in, you know, some of the kids, man, they had it all figured out. I probably shared this with you before, probably on New Year's. I remember some kids that had it figured out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to this college, and this is what I'm going to be. I knew one boy said he's going to be a lawyer. That's what he is today. One girl said she wanted to go to work for NASA. Guess what? She works for NASA, man. I mean, she was a salutatorian, valedictorian, whatever of the class. I mean, man, she was smart as all get out. That's what she does. She works for NASA. I mean, they had a plan. I was like, what are you going to do? I don't know. I just kind of let it happen, man. I kind of just drifted into this job and started on that, and I thought, all right, I'll do that the rest of my life. Wrong. That didn't do that the rest of my life. Didn't do it that long, actually. So, you know, we can let life happen or we can make life happen. We understand that. I'll tell you what, making life happen takes more of an effort than letting life happen, if that bothers you right there. And then even when we have a plan, things come up, right? Sometimes we got a plan. We got a strategy. And then unexpected things come along. That happens, right? And I don't think this year will be different in that regard. There's things ahead, right? There's things ahead that we don't know. We don't know that they might happen, they might not. There's things out there that's going to happen, and there's things that we don't have a clue. We don't see it. We don't know what it's going to be. But I'm going to tell you what, nothing catches the Lord off guard. Nothing catches the Lord. Man, listen, what an important lesson in following the Lord. I mean, listen, he's not caught off guard. He's not caught off track. He's got a plan because he already knows what the future holds. Amen. And so if we're following the Lord, listen, I mean, we're going to get through. He's not going to lead us astray. We know that. And so, boy, it's really important to trust him. And, you know, when we come to a lot of things in life this year, we will come to things. What are things coming to? The title of the message. We're going to come to conclusions. We're going to come to decisions. We may even say, some people say they've come to their wits' end. We may come to our wits' end about some things. And so our text today deals with somebody. It's a young man. You'll be familiar with him. Most of you will be. It's dealing with a man that he was under that fresh start effect. He was thinking about having a fresh start. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said unto his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Amen. The key verse is verse 17, "As he came to himself," the Bible says. He came to himself. But do you ever notice in that text, and I know I've preached on it before, and I know you've read it before and understand the things there. There's a spiritual picture and an actual picture. Did you ever notice how many things he came to before he came to himself? He came to a lot of things before he came to himself. He came to his father. He came to a far country. He came to riotous living. He came to be in want. He came to degradation. All of those things before he ever came to himself. How did it happen that he finally came to himself? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The very first point this morning is he came to consideration. He came to consideration. He began to think about things. I think one of the strategies of the devil today is Satan doesn't want you thinking. We don't think. We got so many things. If we do any thinking, it's probably astray. But there's so much background noise in life. Television running 24 hours a day. Radio, Facebook, internet. It's just all this noise. Who sits around doing nothing? You almost can't do it. I know people like this. They can sit down, and you'd have to put them in a straight jacket and hog tie them to get them to sit just still for 5 minutes and think. Remember when you got in trouble in school? I know none of you probably ever did, but if you did, I knew some kids in my school that did. And the teacher make you go sit in the corner, right? You have to sit in the corner and face in the corner. Sit over and think about what you did. Huh? Did you think about what you did, or did you think about something else, right? Gomer Pyle, he had to put a bucket on his head. Sergeant Carter put it on there and told him to sit under. And Andy come up and said, "What are you doing under there, Gomer?" He said, "Thinking." He said, "Isn't it? You know something?" He said, "It works." He said, "I've just been here thinking, thinking, thinking." He said, "Here, Andy, go ahead and take a think." You know? He said, "What are you thinking about under there? You know how easy it is to think." That's what he was thinking about. But Satan's got us where we don't do that. We don't think about it. If we think, it's thinking amiss, thinking about all the other stuff that's going on in our life. We don't sit there and contemplate and think about things, or think about our own self. No. We're not going to think about us. We're going to think about everybody else but us. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But he got to thinking about things. You know, I think this prodigal son, he started thinking about the direction that he had taken in his life, and not only the direction that he took in his life, where it led him to. You know, he started looking around, and he's sitting in the hog pen. And you know, everybody, listen, you're on a road. You're on a road in life. You're on a road. We're all on a road. We're going down a road in life, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. And then in life, we come to forks in the road. And sometimes you think about a fork in the road. When I was a kid, man, if somebody said this to me, this is the way my brain worked. There's a fork in the road. What do you think I'm thinking? I don't see a fork in the road. I'm thinking a fork in the road. A fork in the road. And we always think about it as just being two, right? Those of you that lived in Northern Virginia, I know some of you did, they got a place called Seven Corners. You better know where you're going when you get to Seven Corners, huh? Because it's a quagmire of roads going this way and that way, and you got to kind of, even when I drove there all the time, and sometimes I had to figure out which lane I was supposed to be in because it was going to get kind of hectic in the middle of it. It's not just two roads. There's a lot of roads. Sometimes that thing looks like a tree. I mean, you got the main drag, and there's roads going off every which way. You're coming to a fork in the road every time you turn around. And where we're at next year, this time, is going to depend, a whole lot of that is going to depend on which fork in the road you go down, the forks or forks in the road. A lot of it's going to depend on that. And like I say, more than two choices. When we look at the prodigal son, he had already kind of considered things to start with and made a decision about following through on that decision. He had already earlier, I don't know how long it took him to blow everything. It wouldn't take me very long. But he decided to approach his father and say, "Hey, give me my portion of my inheritance." Now, he thought about this. Right? It wasn't just like spurt a moment one day, swatting at a fly. You know, I think I'll just go ask Dad for him. No, he thought about this, considered it, right? I'm going to go, I thought about it, I think I'm going to go up there, and he approached his father, give him a portion of my inheritance, and I think I'm going to go ahead and leave home. And I've thought about that, why I remember leaving home. I left home at 18 years old, man. I got a job, I was so excited, I was wound up like a fifth string on a banjo, man. I mean, you couldn't, it was just like, oh man, life, boy, I'm getting out. And you know, a lot of it was, I talked to Sherry about this the other day, a lot of it was, and I'm sure this guy was the same thing, you know, you get out from underneath the responsibilities of the parents, you know, watching over every little thing. I had a good family, my parents were good to me. Looking back, I would give big money to be sitting at home with my mom and dad in the house. I didn't have nothing else to do. No, you know, just worrying about some girl somewhere, something stupid that you worried about when you're a teenager, you know. I didn't have to worry about where the food's coming from. Man, it was food on the table and the heat was always on, and I had a good family. What I wouldn't give for them days right there. But, man, he wanted to get out. You guys know, all of y'all left home, right? Some of you might be here 50, 60 years old still home. Huh? You wanted to get out, man. You wanted to get out on your own. Man, no rules. No regulations. You could stay out long as you wanted. Man, you could do whatever you wanted. You get to call the shots. Man, woo, can't wait, right? Man, and it's going to be good because I know it's going to be a whole lot better than, it's going to be a lot better than staying at home under mom and dad watching that for me. Remember that, huh? How'd that work out for you? How many of you wish you could go back home right now, huh? And we go on back home and stay at the house. I believe that he probably wasn't any different, that had to be part of the deal. Because we know, listen, his father had hired servants. So his daddy had money. Wasn't a problem. We know his dad loved him. We already see that his dad loved him. And when he got there, he put on the robe and the ring and the shoes and the fattened calf. Man, I mean, he had a loving, this wasn't an abusive relationship here. This was a loving father of a wealthy family that would take care of him. I mean, man, he had a good life at home. But he said, you know, I thought about this, and this is what I want to do. And guess what he said? This is going to be a good thing. Huh? I just can't wait. It's going to be the right choice. It's going to be the good choice. Ain't no way in the world that he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my inheritance, go out and blow it, and I'm going to go live with the hogs and eat with the pigs. Man, I mean, there ain't no way that was the plan. Huh? You know, this is my, what's your New Year's resolution, son? Oh, I'm gonna leave home and just waste all my money and end up feeding swine and eating what the swine eat, eating it, living in a pig pen. How many of you plan like that? Huh? How many of you made a plan like that? How many of you made a plan and you ended up in something just like that? Huh? You got in a bad way. You got in a bad place. Huh? I mean, did you plan it that way? I mean, you go down the road and you see somebody laying off in a gutter somewhere, some wino, some drunk laying. I remember when I first went to Washington, D.C., I wasn't used to seeing anything like that, man. I was in a whole car full of guys. We were going downtown. Here's a dude laying on the sidewalk with a newspaper laid on him for a blanket. I said, man, look at that. I told these other guys. I said, there's a guy laying out there on the sidewalk. Man, we better get out and help him. They all, they left. Why? Because they were used to seeing that. You know, was that guy's plan? What are you going to do? Go out there and drink yourself to death? Drink every penny of money that you got out or shoot it up in dope, every dime that you have, and your plan is that I'm going to live in a box, on a cardboard box, and everywhere around a big city you can go. We got them in Buckhannon, I think. You can go and get up under the bridges, and there was people huddled up under their cardboard boxes living in them, old raggedy blankets. If somebody didn't give them something, they wouldn't. Was that the plan? That was the life plan? But how many of them, when they took off on that road, thought they were right? They thought that was the right move. Somewhere on that, when they veered off, right? They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought this is the best move to make. Huh? I mean, they had to have. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done that. How many people take off believing it's right, it's best? Sometimes you even hear that, believing it's God's will. Huh? Yeah, God's leading me down this road. God ain't leading you into a hog pen. Huh? God ain't leading you to live in a cardboard box drunk, drinking, cleaning products, whatever you end up into. God didn't lead you down that road. No. But you know what? To a T, every single one of them thought they were right. Every one of them. We were doing Wednesday night Bible study. We studied on here Wednesday night about Absalom rebelling against David, his father. Now, we know David was anointed to be king. Absalom rebelled against his own father. And I pointed this out, that his father would have killed him, or his father. David would have killed his own father he would have had to if he was going to be king. Ain't no way he could have had somebody that had been a king on, you know, that's how they did it. Killed his own daddy. And you know, Absalom had to talk himself into believing that he was absolutely 100% right in doing what he did. I'm going to rebel against my daddy. And you know what? I bet he even said God's going to bless it. I bet he said that. I bet he said, God is going to bless this. I'm going to rebel against my father. He got a following. He thought he was right. He thought that everything was going to work out, even though, listen, David had been anointed by Samuel. It was God's will that David be on the throne. Guess what? Every time you go against the will of God, you are fighting God. How's that going to pan out for you? Huh? You're not winning that fight. No, you're not. You may think you're going to win. Absalom thought he was winning for a little while until one day when his hair got caught in the boughs of the branches and somebody come up there with some darts and threw him through his heart and killed him. Huh? This old prodigal son, man, he thought, boy, this is it. I'm in God's will. I'm right. I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. There's people out there, man, you can't talk to them. You can't tell them anything. They know what they're doing. How come you're in there eating with pigs? A Jew now, mind you. A Jew that could help it wouldn't be feeding swine. Must have eaten what they ate, taking care of swine. That was an unclean animal. Here he was. It doesn't get any lower than that. He had got down to the bottom. Absalom was fighting God. I believe this boy right here, he was fighting God as well. And Absalom was dead wrong. There's a lot of people in the Bible that thought they were right. Don't you know old Judas, on the night he betrayed Jesus, thought he was doing the best thing? He thought he was doing a good thing? Huh? He had considered this. Listen, Judas didn't on the spur of the moment, on the night of the Last Supper, sitting there at the table with Jesus thinking, gee, you know, I'm going to go turn him in. $30 reward, 30 pieces of silver reward for that. That's what I think I'll do. No. He had contemplated this for a long time. He weighed it all out. And this is the conclusion that he came up with. See, it says the prodigal son, it said that he came to himself, which means he was outside of himself, which means he was out of his mind. That's how far you can get away from God. You can get out or slap out of your mind. Judas said to sit there and think, boy, this is going to be the right road to go down. The right path to go down. I'm going to sell out to the Lord. Think about that. Think about that rich young ruler. He got to that fork in the road, and right then he got to a fork where he only had to make one or two choices. He could do what Jesus told him. Or you hold on to that money and walk away from the Lord. He said, I'm going to hold on. He thought he was doing the right thing, even though he was sorry. He went down that road. Old King Herod, we just talked about Christmas time, slew all them babies. Tried to kill Jesus. Man, he thought he was doing, this was the right move, the smart move. He thought it was right, but it was wrong. Listen, everybody today, the Bible talks about two ways and two gates and two roads, and it talks about the broad way and the narrow way. And I want you to know something, everybody that's on the broad way thinks they're on the right way. Everybody, man, you can go out there and talk to people about the Lord and try to lead them to the Lord and get them saved. Every single one of them thinks they're on the right way. Nope. They think they know. I got friends, their heads are harder than this pulpit right here, and they think they're so smart. They think they know. They got it all figured out. Everybody on the Broadway, going down the Broadway, thinks they're right. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Everybody, that Broadway crowd and that wide gate crowd, every single one thinks they're right. But they're wrong. I mean, 180 degrees opposite. They're as wrong as they could be, but they can't see it. They don't know it. They have considered, they've thought about these ways, and they have come to the wrong conclusion that it's the right way. And then it says that the prodigal son, he came to wasting and want. Wasting and want. There's a spiritual picture there, but it's true. Wasting and want means that he had wasted his substance on riotous living. We understand that. Like I said, if I was going to waste mine on riotous living, it wouldn't take me very long. Get her done in a couple weeks, I'm sure, or sooner. He wasted it, and now he's in want. I mean, he's hungry. Doesn't have anything to eat. There's a spiritual picture. Everybody that leaves the Father, leaving the Father, all sin is departure from God. It doesn't, I mean, you know, you're stepping away from God when you're stepping towards sin. You're stepping away from God. And you say, well, I'm saved. And yeah, I know, but you can, spiritually, there can be a disconnect. There can be, you can break fellowship. You know, you can do that. And God doesn't break it. God's always like right there with us if we want to have a visual picture. God's always walking away. But see, you can turn. And you start going to sin, he ain't going that way. God's not going to go that way. He might wait there for you, but he's not going down that path of sin. He's not. And so there's that spiritual picture that we see right there. And departing from God ends with the same result. He ended up in a spending state, a wasting state, a wanting state. Notice after all that, it said there was a famine in a far country. What a spiritual picture that is. He was leading. He led himself to the far country. He went to the place of famine, away from where the father had provision. But he hadn't considered that. He hadn't considered that's how it would work out. That's why you need to trust the Lord, see, because what we can't see. And the second thing is, he came to conviction. Now he began to reconsider. He realized as he looked to himself, and you know, I like the prodigal son. What I like about him, he's a thinking man. He is a thinking man. I mean, he's thought wrongly, obviously. He's got off on the sidetrack, but at least he got back to thinking about things, and guess what he realized? He realized he was in a dissatisfied state, and he was also in a disappointed state. He was dissatisfied with things. He was disappointed the way things went. And you know what his father even said? His father knew it. His father said he was dead. He was in a dead state, spiritually dead, so to speak, right there. And so as he considered those things, he came under conviction about it. He came under conviction about that. And I like that. I like that, to come under conviction. Conviction's a good thing. At least God's not done with you. He considered, and he came under this conviction, and he decided to do something about that conviction, and he made a decision, or he came to a decision. You know, a lot of people don't do that. They just stay in the old miry, the mire of the hog pen. They just stay right there. They won't get out of it. They complain about it. They resign themselves to that nothing's going to change. I saw a guy during the holiday season, homeless guy, and I started considering this. Here this guy was, okay, he had made a sign, and he got down there to the corner and he had the sign. So he could read, he could write, he could talk. I saw him talking to somebody. He had initiative. He got up every day and he went to that same corner. He got himself there somehow, and he got to that corner. He could walk. He was standing up, walking up and down. He had personality. I saw him laughing, smiling. He had, like I say, he was motivated every day. And I'm thinking, this is your plan for life? Which I heard some of them people make pretty good money. Might be how I supplement my retirement. But no, this is his plan for life. With the jobs out there, and let me give you another little public service announcement here at Valley View Baptist Church. If you got a job that you're not happy with, and it's not a great job or not a job of the future, now's the time to act. Listen, there's good jobs out there that before you had to have qualifications. Today your qualifications are breathing pulse. That's all you got to have. They're going to train you. They will train you for good jobs right now. No better time in the world to make a decision on that and get you a good job. They're out there, man. They're out there. They're begging people to come to work. Anyway, that's just a little side lesson. No extra charge for that. But this is the guy's plan for life. He's resigned himself to this, or he may be making a good living. But I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no reason in the world for the guy to be standing on the sidewalk in this economy with a sign out saying that he's smart enough to write, smart enough to read, smart enough to get there, smart enough to have enough motivation and initiative to get there every day and ask people to give him money. Mm-mm. I give him a job application, man. I mean, there's places to go work. I'm not talking about people that can't. There ain't that many of them. Most of those that can't get to the corner. Can't stand on the corner. Can't walk up and down on the corner. They can't do it. But there's a lot of people like that. And if they're even not at that state, they've got to a dissatisfied, disappointing state in life. And it could be anything. It could be off, you know, drugs, alcohol, anything in life you can think of. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to stay in that state. If you get there's a place to go. There's a place to turn. There's a place you can get back to if you just would do it, if you'd have the initiative to do it. But a lot of people are satisfied. But I like this guy here because he said, you know what? I'm looking around, man. I'm down here feeding swine, number one. I'm eating what the swine eat. And I'm thinking about this choice I made. And you know what? Things was a whole lot better before I left home. He said, what should I do? What should I do? You know, I told Sherry one time, I remember when my parents were alive, I had always had a safety net. No matter what happened, never went back home. I mean, I went back home to see my parents, but I never moved back home. My buddy Donald, he moved back home I don't know how many times, but I just never did. But I knew I could. In the back of my mind, I knew if somebody was worse. And I know even today, the neighbors I grew up with are still there. And I told them when my dad died and I preached my dad's funeral down there at the beach and all the old neighbors came. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I think about my neighbor. I think about this neighborhood every day. And I said, I know that if I ever got to a place, if I was completely destitute and completely homeless and I didn't have nothing to eat, I could have knocked on anybody's door in that neighborhood and say, hey, I don't have a thing. And I'll tell you what, I'd have had a bath, a place to stay. I'd have got some food. I'd have got some help from any of them. I mean, that's what, but there was a certain safety net with my parents. I always knew they were there. And now they're not. Now I'm the safety net. You know, my kids are looking at me. Well, if anything happens, maybe I'll let you in, honey. You know, crack the door and look out. What do you want? You know, see what you're doing. But this guy says, you know what? I think I'll. He got under conviction about it. He decided to do something about it. And he began to think correctly. He was going to go back to where he got off track to start with. You know, everything was hunky-dory, man. I mean, he was going to have inheritance. He had a father. He had a father that loved him. He had servants. He had food. Man, life was good. Dad was taking all the responsibilities. And what he said, you know what? I think I'll go back to where I got off track. That ain't bad philosophy right there. You know, if you ever get lost in the woods, man, sometimes you can get lost around. Sometimes you have to, if you can get back to where you started from and rethink it, you can get back to, you know, get to where you're going. That's what you got to get back to where you started. Sometimes you can't, but in that case, but get back to where you started from. And that's what he said, you know what, I think that's what I'll do. I'll get back to where I started from and I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll humble myself. I'll be a servant. The servants that my dad has have it better than I do. So I'll be a servant. That's what I'll do. Just not proud enough to ask just for be his son again. He said, I'll just be a servant. And the third thing he came to confession. He made this decision, and it was a good decision. It was a godly decision. And he said, I'm going to go back to my father and confess that I'm a sinner, that I was wrong. Oh, boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? But the reason I was wrong is because you were wrong first. That's how it usually goes, right? All the time he thought he was right and he was good and he was on the right road. You know, he had never got under conviction when he wasted all his money in riotous living. It doesn't say he got under conviction about that. But conviction came when he began to be in want, and then he realized that he was wasting his life. He got convicted about that. And before he came to confession, the Bible says in verse 17, and I mentioned it already, that he came to himself. Vance Havner said, the longest road in life is usually the road to oneself. The longest road in life is usually the road to oneself. We come to everything else first. We do everything possible to avoid meeting old number one. Jails, asylums, hospitals are full of people trying to get away from themselves. Yeah, we don't want to look at ourselves. The Bible talks about it. The Bible says, let a man consider himself. We just had communion. We're supposed to consider ourselves or think about our own self. And he came to the right conclusion. He said, you know, I have sinned. Now, a lot of people come to that conclusion. There's a lot of people out there that are sinners, and of course, I know we all are, but there's a lot of people that are living a life of sin. And if you ask them, they know it. They would admit it. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but a lot of people have come to that conclusion. There's a lot of people in the Bible that came to the conclusion they were sinners. But not very many repented of it, did something about it. This guy said, I'm going to repent. I'm going to leave where I'm at, and I'm going to go back to where I was. He came to himself, he considered himself, and he made a decision to do something about it. That's what he did. And the fourth point is, he came home. What a simple move. He left that hog pen, he got up, knocked off the mud and the dirt and whatever, and he came back to his father. This was the good place, the loving place, the place of provision, and it was always the best place. It was always the very best place, right? Boy, how Satan can get our mind on something else. The father, the Bible tells us, the father saw him a long ways off, always watching, always waiting, always praying, always loving. And then the last little thing I read in the text that I read this morning said they began to be merry. You know, the Bible doesn't say that ever ended either. It says they began to be merry. It doesn't say it ended. That's a spiritual picture there of coming to God, coming to God the Father. You know, what things are going to come, say this in closing, what things are going to come this year? I don't know. I know there'll be unexpected things. There may be expected things, but there'll be unexpected things. The road that we choose today will have a lot to do with a lot of things that come our way in the upcoming year. And so the question is this: have you come to yourself? Have you considered yourself? Or do you need to do that? Do you need to think about what are things coming to? Consider, confess, come home. Those are the simple things right there. Amen? God spoke to your heart this morning. You need to think about that. And I tell you another thing I do it every day, but like I say, these points, good time to be thankful. God's brought us through some things. Good time to be thankful, right? Thank God.